Today's limud should be in the Kraliyot Neshama for Gittel Bas Aaron and Chaim Ben Avram Tzvi, who perished together in the Holocaust. Okay, we're on 42 days of the Yoga, Tafshin Samachay, and today we're on the Lamed Daled. We got up to the Mishnah just in time for Sava Josh's introduction.
Sukta Heidegger Mishnah.
שלושה דברים צריך אדם לומר בתוך ביתו ערב שבת עם חשיכה. As it's about to become now בין השמשות, the person should make sure about three things. He should say, in a lotion of question, Isartem, have you taken off Maaser yet? Because after all, once it's already Shabbat, you're not allowed to take off Maaser. And if it reminds them earlier in the day before Chashecha, it's likely that they'll just put it off and that way forget it. So best at the time, not early. Hereafter, have you made an Eruv yet? And we'll see what we're talking about. This could be in referring to the Eruv Tchumim or the Eruv Chatzerot. And he should also say, not as a question, but as the time has arrived for Hadliku et Hanir, time to light the Nerot Shabbat. Safek Chashecha, Safek Eino Chashecha. If now you have doubt, it's now Ben Hashmashot, and you're not sure at this point whether it's dark or whether it's still daytime. In Maasrin Tavadai, we don't take off Maaser from Perot Vadai, even though this is only a Gezeira Drabonon, because it's similar to Tikkun Mane. So it's like you're making something that wasn't good good, and that's a general klal that comes under either Market Bapate, Shabona, and so on, as we'll see later on. So it appears from here that this Tana holds that we do have a Gzeir of Shvut Ben Hashmashot. We mentioned earlier that there was a sheet of holds that there is no Shvut Ben Hashmashot. Here the Tana is asering, taking off definite Teva, the Inmad Bilinata Kelim, and you cannot take a Kli and be Tovalet. Now, again, what exactly is this referring to? If it's referring to a tefillah that we do for buying a kli from a nochri, then that would mean that we have a shvut on a shvut, basically. I mean, the idea of tefillat kelim, but it could be talking about kelim that are unusable for truma because they're tamei d'oraita. So we have a shvut on something which has a status d'oraita. This we'll talk about when we get to the Gemara, because there, it's clear that the Mishnah does not hold that every Shvut is Asur, as we'll see. So, Eimad Binat HaKelim, Eimad Likin Et HaMeirot, nor can you light candles, which seems a little bit silly to say. I mean, if you can't even do Safek Yisur D'Rabbanan, Koshekin, you can't light the candles, which causes some of the Mefarshei HaMishnah to explain that you can't light the candles means you can't light the candles through Amir La'akma. Because obviously you can't light the candles yourself. The question is whether, in order to have the Shalom Bayit advantage of Shabbat, did we also answer Amir La'akma, which is itself a shlut, Bein HaShmashot, the Tzorek Shabbat? And this really seems to be taking it a long, long way, that we're not going to allow you to tell a goy to light the candles because it's already Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. The truth is that we don't paskin like that. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Amir La'akum for this Tzorek is mutter. However, you can see why we would certainly be led to the Mishnah to suggest that Madlikin Ataneirot, not as Rashi explains, means literally, because it's obvious. Then you'd have to say, Zu Vein Tzorek Lomar Zu, that that's the construction of the Mishnah, which we're reluctant to say if we don't have to. Aval, ma'asrinat ha-demai, you can take off ma'asir from demai, which means that those things which don't really have a d'oraita makor, as we say, demai is just sort of a, you know, as I said earlier, it's a gzer, b'alma, I mean, after all, rova me'ar, it's ma'asrin, we don't really have a suffix, so it's a drabonin that pretends that it's a suffix, so that much we're not going to be ma'asrin. But then the question is, I mean, if that's the case, the next piece, Ma'arvi. Obviously, a moment ago you said you have to make sure you did the Erev before. Now you're saying you could do the Erev afterwards, and it's also a problem. So we're going to have to be machalic what type of Erev, obviously, otherwise the Mishnah is contradictory. And then that leads to the question, so what do we do about the Tefillat Kelim? Is Tefillat Kelim more of a takana based on something than Demai? Or... V'tomnim et hakabim. Well, that was the shot, I guess. Right. We have the extremes here. Some people who sort of sneak in quietly when they come late. There's other people.
All of
it. Richie, that was perfect.
Richie,
you waited
to say come
late.
Start
the
mission. You were saying.
Yes, I was saying, so we have to figure out which Tefillat Kelim is parallel to which Eruv. Okay, we'll see when we get to the Gemara how to view that. The Tomim et Achamim, and you would also be allowed to take something which is hot from before, from during the day, and now put it under something which insulates it to keep it warm. As to the Gemara Minan, Emile, where do we see that there's a remez, that this is a chiyav on a person, to be Mekayim Erev Shabbos, Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Omer Kro, V'yadata ki shalom ahalecha, a shalom ahalecha is a reference to shalom bayit. Shalom bayit, we said Ner Shabbat, shalom bayit. Ufakarata navecha, navecha means your home, that's your Malkum Shemitah, which is the meaning of an Erev. And then, v'lo techata, and that's the lotisa alav chet, on the din of tevel. So that you have now those three in yonim, or merumes viadata. Make sure that that's the case. Omer baravun, abagav yomer abonu shoshavon tzarek adam lomar betoch beto. You know, people get rather hung up on religious requirements. The rabbanan said, make sure you say this. So you think that that means, okay, here's the rules. Actually, tzarek l'min ben echuta. You have to say it nicely. And the point over here is that you shouldn't come across as critical, but rather as making a suggestion, which then people will follow up on. Omer Ravashi said, you know what? I never shmieli had the Rabba Baravuna. I didn't even hear what Rabba Baravuna, but you know, I managed to figure it out myself. I thought that up myself. It's a good idea to say it nicely. Now, the mission doesn't make sense. I mean, how good for kasha? First you say, shloshet varim sarach adam lomar betoch betor erev Shabbat, im chashecha. So it's im chashecha means right as it's about to be the time of chashecha. Which means that if you have a safek chashecha, the safek eno chashecha, it's already too late. Make sure that it's done while you still have a few moments left in the day, right? And then you go right ahead and you say, in the end, you say, Safek Chashecha, Safek Enem Chashecha, you could still make an Erev. So then, I understand, so why are you telling me I have to make sure the Erev is made still in the daytime? Omar Rabab, Omar Rabchia Barashi, Omar Rav, clearly the Mishnah is talking about two different cases of Erev, and Lokasha, Kan Be'eruvei Techumim, where you're talking about an Erev Techumim. Now, an Erev Techumim is actually much more chamur, because it's based on, if not a dioraita, I mean, there is a machloket, whether tchumim or dioraita, and whether the shiur that we have, the 2000, is an extension of the 12 mil dioraita, which is based on the machan and the midbar, in which case there's a real extension of a true halakha, or whether bichlal, it's not a dioraita, but even according to those who hold it's not a dioraita, it's learned out from very strong smichyut on psukim, where it's mashma mokom, defining a mokom, a person not to go out from his mokom. I understand that we want to treat very seriously. This is an interesting approach, as Rashi learns, even if you hold that tchumim are not dioraita, the fact that you have an esmachma, in other words, you're masmich something on a pusik, gives it a different status, and we need to be more machma. We've spoken in the past, the sheet of the Ritva, another Rishoni, who learned that an esmachta is actually a true remez, not a mnemonic, Of course, it's clear that that's not always the case. There's different types of esmachos. But where asmechiu rabbonan akrov, there's a greater chumra. So if we're talking about an erev tchumim, that is something that we treat with a great deal of chumra. Mashenke, when it comes to an erev chatzeros, I mean, that's a little bit crazy. We decided that we're going to create a new rishus, which is the equivalent of taking out from rishus ayokar, rishus right, even though you're taking out into your yard, for God's sake. The only thing is other people there. So since there's other people using it, so it has elements in it that someone might confuse with rishus harabim because it's more public property. Okay, I mean, that's based on nothing, really. Based on a very extreme harchoka from the ideas of tilton on Shabbos. So over there, we're not going to be so makbid. If it's an erev chatzeros, if it's still a safek, so maybe it's daytime, maybe it's nighttime. Over there, we will allow you to go ahead and to make an erev chatzeros. Yomar Rava. Furthermore, said Rava, if two people would tell you, Omer lo shnai, seva areva leinu, go out, please, and make an erev for us. So then he, to one of them, it was pretty late, he got to a place to make the Eruv. This is assuming that we're learning, we're talking about Eruv Tchumim over here, which is Rashi and Rambam's approach. So, one of these people, he had a chance to put the Eruv down while it was still daytime. But the other one, he only put it down while it was already Ben HaShemashot. And another curious thing that happened is that the first one that he managed to put down, Miba'od Yom, a little doggy came along and ate up the Erev right after he put it down, but by then it was already Ben HaShemashot. Whereas for the second guy, where he put it down, the doggy was already smart enough to follow him around, he got to the second Erev only when it was definitely lilac. Okay? So now, what's the status of these two Eruvs? Zeshirev ala bin Ashbashon. Nechal Eruvam Mishach Hashecha Vadar. Interestingly enough, Shnehem Kanu Eruv? That doesn't make any sense. Both of them have a kosher Eruv, even though somebody, I mean, Mavanachach, I bin Ashbashon Yimam. I don't understand. If you hold that bin Ashbashon is a din of a daytime. Okay, so then the second one is a classically kosher Eruv. You put the Eruv down in the day. The Erev was eaten up at night, but at the time of Chalot Shabbat, his Makom Shvitah had been defined, and that's all that counts. We know the Erev doesn't have to be extend the entire Shabbat. So then the second guy should be Kona, but the first guy, his Erev was still eaten up in the daytime, because the dog got to it, Ben Hashmashot, which you're claiming is Yom. And if you hold, in the Kamalolikne, and if you hold, Ben Hashmashot Lailel, you hold that it has a din of night, so then only the first man was Kona his Erev, because his Erev was put down while it was day. The dog got to Ben Ashbashot, which is night. And the second guy, forget about him. He put down his Erev in the middle of the night, basically, because it was Ben Ashbashot. So then the Batra lo likne. After all, the second guy now is at night. Answers the Gemara. That's the whole point, you see. Ben Ashbashot is a suffix. And it's a suffix to Rabbanan. So it's Sufik Drabanan, the whole idea over here is the Erev is Drabanan. So it's Sufik Drabanan, it's a Kula. Therefore, we rely on both studies to say that it's Yom vis-a-vis the person who had his Erev put down by Yom, to say that it's Lila vis-a-vis the guy whose dog ate it by Lila, and that way you have to test the both worlds because you have a Sufik Drabanan anyway. So we make them.
Even though it's a Rabbanan that's within a Smakta.
Correct.
We still
Change it in a Sufik Drabanan. The only question is whether we make it a Churma to us of doing it. That's a separate thing, not to be confused with Sufik Drabanan about what has been achieved.
Makes it a stronger Drabanan line. Makes it a stronger Drabanan.
What is a stronger Drabanan?
That's not something that has a...
No, that's what Scott is pointing out, and we have to be mechalic in our minds between these two issues. Sufik Drabanan Lekula is said about every Sufik Drabanan. It's a question about a chalot, how we define the status of a thing. The question of whether something is mutter or aser, whether we aser it even in a time of the day, which is a Sufik, when the equivalent Yoraita would be aser, there we can make a difference between a drabbana that we view as a true extension of a diorita. So we're gozer it not to do it ben hashmashot. That's not because of the suffix drabbana.
Both these fellows walk together with a tarti sasre.
They better not ask the same gentleman, huh? Yeah, but it's two unrelated cases, basically.
Usually the basic process you can't...
That's because we have to... Yeah, it's because we have to define that situation for the two people. But over here, it's a general... Right. General halakha, so that's the Bein HaShemesh assumption. Omar Rava, it shouldn't say V'Omar, because this is unrelated to the previous piece. Omar Rava, it seems that the Mishnah is saying that you can be tonim et achamim even if you are Bein HaShemeshot, but certainly not Mishach HaShecha. What in the world is wrong? We're just insulating something. I mean, I'm not cooking or anything. So it's clear from the Mishnah that Ein tonim b'davar she'ein mosif heva. You're not allowed to just insulate something, even though no heat is being added. Why did they say that? The Mishnah after Bein HaShemeshot, it's awesome. Well, that's because Gezerah Shema Yartiach. That is a Gezerah because of Bishul. So we're afraid. Look, I mean, you're going to put it in now. It's already night. Maybe it's got cold. So you're about to put your cholent now under wraps. You see it cooled off. Hard to resist not putting it back on the fire a little bit, maybe cooking it. So then you'll now be over on Bishul. Now this is a big problem, because assuming that what it is that you cooked was already cooked, then there's no Isser of Bishul. There's Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. If the Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, so when we make it Xera, maybe you'll come to Bima Bash or something which isn't us to Bima Bash. What's the problem? No, so you cook it. What's wrong? It's already cooked. From here comes the famous question about whether we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul on liquids. The Rosh's conclusion from this is that must be referring, since what's the meaning of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? And here's where we're getting into now this sugyota bishul. Again, we're at the stage of the segue between Bamei Madlikim and Kira, which is all about bishul. We're now going to get into the issues of bishul. So we might as well bite right in and recognize that the idea of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul means that bishul provides us with an actual change, a measurable change in the substance. Once that change has occurred, there's no point in redoing it other than heating it up. Where does the Torah say something heated? That you're not supposed to heat something. There's no law against heating. So therefore says, aha, but if it comes to a liquid, say you're cooking up coffee. Now the coffee is completely chilled. Are you going to tell me that the consequences of the original heating of the water are noticeable in the water? Has the water changed? There's a change in H2O once it's heated. It's not cooled. So there you can't say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul because there's no noticeable permanent impact on the status of the water. So where you've got a potato, once you've got a cooked potato, you've got a cooked potato. It doesn't get uncooked when it cools. But when it comes to water, as anybody who is interested in having a good coffee knows, having once boiled that water, it don't help. You got to boil it again when you want to make your coffee. So therefore, the Gemara perhaps is talking about a case where you're going to be matzmin your hot water for Shabbat, find that it's cold, and now go and reheat it, and that will be in fact bishul. Others disagree with this kvi'a, and they say that, look, maybe what we're talking about over here is that you'll discover that something wasn't sufficiently cooked, and you'll go to cook it. So you may have thought that the pot was all, you'll feel it's a little bit chilly, look into it and say, oh my God, it never really cooked properly. And then you'll put it back on the fire before being matmin it. So therefore you can't conclude from here that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, that Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul B'dover Lach. Anyway, ask the Gemara, wait. If you're telling me that we have a Gezerah, that maybe you're going to re-cook something. So what's the difference whether we're talking about Bein HaShemeshot or whether we're talking about in the nighttime? You've already said that we don't allow you, Bein HaShemeshot, to do something which has a serious connection to your Dioraita, correct? Now, re-cooking is a serious Dioraita.
So by your standards, we shouldn't allow this to be done, even Bein HaShemashot. And yet you said only Mishakha Shekhar. Now that you've turned the problem of Hatmana means to put something under something else for purposes of insulation or worse, as we'll see. So now that you're telling me that Hatmana is a Gzera Vriticha, so you're telling me that Hatmana is a Chomor Gzera. Because it borders on a Dioraita. You've already said a Gzera bordering on a Dioraita is not allowed, according to this Mishnah, Bein HaShemashot. So now why does the Mishnah say that during Bein HaShemashot you are allowed to be Matmin? Says Rabbi, that's a good question. However, the answer has nothing to do about the status of the Gzera. The answer has to do with common logistics. Stam Kederot, Rotchote. When it comes to Bein HaShemashot, usually your pots are hot. That's when your pots are cooking. So now you're coming to transfer them to the area where they're going to be insulated. At that moment, they're hot. What do I have to make it there? Maybe they'll be cold. If you're coming sometime after that, who knows what? Well, when are you coming? Midnight. When are you coming? So at that point, obviously your pots aren't cooking anymore. You did your cooking Erev Shabbos? Maybe they cooled off. And now you'll go to heat them. There you've got a problem, but the problem of Shema Yartia doesn't make sense. Why should we make a gzera on something that's not benimtza? So stam kederot rotchot. At the point of im chashecha, pots are usually hot. The Yomar Rava.
Just remember the
mice
that
we
passed when it was around midnight. Only discovered the pots weren't hot. I went out to find
Go
in California.
The Yomar Rava, mitnei ma amru ein tonim bedavar hamosif hever, afil mi bod yom. That's an interesting thing. We're going to see later on in the Mishnah that even though we're matir hatmana over here, it's only in a davar she eino mosif hever. Let's get our terminology correct. You know, if we're talking about insulation, stam insulation is not mosif heat. It insulates, keeps what's there hot. So if you're talking about now putting something under cloths to keep it warm, or cotton, as an example around, you have cotton balls and you wrap it up to keep it nice and warm. It's good insulators, a lot of air traps in there. So that's eno mosif hevel. But then there's also hatmana in something that would be mosif hevel. So you can put something into things that are gradually oxidizing. You put it inside of a compost or something. So it'll be heating it. Not significant heat, but it's certainly mosif hevel. Or you might put it into the, after you took out all of the coals and mixed it, you were coating your stove, you took the mixture, which still has things that are gradually burning whatever oxygen is left, remets, that's called, and you'll stick your pot in there, and that'll really keep it warm. So those are things that essentially are going to be mosif hevel. It's going to actually add to the heat that you had before. There, they are doing that even in the middle of the day.
What about aluminum foil?
Aluminum foil? I don't know if that's even called hatmana. It's not double to the thing. It's not most, yeah. But it, if you actually covered my, I don't know whether it's shamer, it's a good conductor. How would it be shamer heat? So, Omar Le'avai, so what's the gezer over here? Gezer is shema yatmin beremet, sheesh bo gachelet. If you're putting it in something that's mosif hevel, you may put it into something that still has a live colon. Omar Le'avai said, so what's wrong with that? So do, who cares? I mean, you're doing it in the middle of the day. Who's it hurting? So there's a live coal, big deal. No. What we're afraid over here is that if now Rashi learns that the case over here is, we're afraid that you will discover in checking it later on that it really needs to be hotter, and then you'll poke on it to get the heat up, because maybe indeed it wasn't completely cooked. And so there were gozer even in a case where we know that it was definitely cooked. But other Rishonim apparently have different gears here. You're also, they learn Shema Yartiach. It may be that the thing itself will get so hot it'll start bubbling over. And you'll open it up to cool it down. And then you'll come to be matminit in remetz on Shabbos itself, in which case you may come really at that point to chatiyah. So Mamela, they answered it even though it was done b'od yom. Even though our principle was that milachot that do themselves are not problematic, unless it's afsha. That was, it makes a lot of noise. That was the Shabbos clock issue. Remember we had the mission about you can open up the water to continue watering during Shabbat. Things which are afsha milta, which are noticeable on Shabbat, it's a different issue. But that doesn't raise over here. Tanarabana. Now let us get into a definition of what we mean by safek chashecha, safek eina chashecha. What exactly is this? This is a concept that we met before in Masechet Brachot, which is called bein hashmashot. It's somewhere in between the actual disappearance of the sun and nightfall, which is defined by the Shlosha Kochavim Beinoniim. And Tosu says that the whole sugya over here and its questions is basically all around the issue of what are Shlosha Kochavim Beinoniim, because yes, I mean, why don't we simply use that as our sinner? Gemara says in Psachim, that's the shir. Maybe that's the question. How do we define that? It's a very loose, vague kind of definition. So, bein hashmashot, says the Braita, safek min hayom u min halayla. First of all, bein hashmashot, the period, which is called bein hashmashot, may be partially from the day and partially from the night. Now, who cares? That we'll see. It's also a safek kulo min hayom. It might be entirely daytime, halachically. Or a safek kulo min halayla. It might be entirely nighttime, halachically. And therefore, what we have to do is treat it l'chumra. Metilim oto l'chumra shnei yamim. And it gets the chumra of being both days. We'll see what that means. Ve'ezehu bein hashmashot. What is called bein hashmashot? From the time from the time that the sun sets. Now we'll see that we have a major, very famous machloket as to what is defined as the sun sets. And that, of course, is the Rabbi Notam question and the other Rishonim, the Shitas of the Gaonim, as it's called, which is strongly held by Yir Neretz Yisroel, because the Gra did a great deal of work to prove that the Rabbi Notam Shita was wrong, and that it's the Shitat Geonim that we rely on, which is why over here Shabbat is out so quickly after actual sunset. But in any event, from whatever we're going to define as sunset, Koz Man Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim, as long as the eastern horizon is red. Now the Gemara is going to come out later that the eastern horizon is actually the western horizon. This is something that the Gemara, and only the Gemara, is capable of. No, but that the reason that it's referring to this is the eastern is
because, reflection, maybe.
No, it could have been a reflection, but what it's talking about is actually the sun setting in the west. It's a reference to the west, but it wants to bring out the way in which you need to think about the rays of the sun hitting the upper atmosphere after they're below the horizon. So that actually, even though after the immediate sunset, you have a reddening of the lower horizon, which is what we generally appreciate as sunset, that may not even be sunset, I'll leave it the Rabbeinu Tam. That's broad daylight. And what we're talking about here is where the sun is sufficiently beneath the horizon that the rays of the sun bounce off of the upper atmosphere back down to you, but are not at an angle, because they're being blocked by the curvature of the earth, they're not at an angle to hit the lower atmosphere. So therefore what happens is that it starts to turn dark towards the bottom, grayish towards the horizon, while the sky is still reflecting sunlight. So it's reddish on top and dark towards the bottom. Now there, the siman is that Koz Man Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim. So as long as the entire horizon is red, now that seems to be period. In which case, we're going to get a little bit confused here, because now it says Hichsif tachton, if gray, the bottom part of the horizon has turned gray, velo yichsif hayom, but the upper part is still reddish, that's called bein hashmashot, which of course is a contradiction. As you said a moment ago, bein hashmashot is when the entire horizon is red. So is this supposed to be red all as one piece? No, it's from the time that the horizon is red, even including the time in which only the upper horizon is red. But the directly cross view is already gray. That's one possibility. So it's not clear where we put the period. Where does the clause end? So the clause might end here. So Yichsif Takhton V'lo Yichsif Elyon is included in Pnei Mizrach Ma'adimim. So all of that would be Ben Hashmashot. Hichsif HaElyon. Now, when the upper horizon now becomes gray, v'hishvala tachton, and now it's the same tone, color tone, as the bottom, zeolai, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's dark. Rabbi Nechemya says, look, let's measure this in concrete terms. It's the amount of time, k'dei she'alech adam, mi she'tishakach, chatzi mil, as long as it takes to walk, a half a mil, and a mil, generally assumed to be 18 minutes. So this would be 9 minutes from the time of Shkia. From that time, it's Ben Hashmashot. Rabbi Yossi Omer, nah, Ben Hashmashot care of Ayin, actually. Zenichlas v'zeyotzei. The period of Ben Hashmashot is not a long period in which it's a suffix ben hayom, suffix ben halayla. There is not a gradual suffix. There is a moment. And there you have, it's either Yom or Laila. Zenich na zeyotze. The Eiv Shala Amodalav. We don't know precisely when this is. But there is one point at which that's true. It's not a long time the way you have it. Now, Omar Ma, let's get this straight. I understand when you say it's a Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. When you say it's a Suffolk partially Yom and Suffolk partially Laila, what exactly are the implications of that? When you say Matilin Atolachom Eshnei Yamin, therefore we call it 2 days. 2 days insofar as what? Lamayilchata. Omer Abun Abreder Yoshua. No, it's very simple. L'inyan Tuma. As we've already had many times before, the question of Re'iyah of Zivot is what gets us into this problem. Because where you have a male Zav as opposed to a female, you have a new halacha, which is that it's possible to be cut. First of all, let's get the halacha straight. The first three of Zivot gives them a male the same din as a Balkari, even though he isn't a Balkari, but we treat him with the same tomb as a Balkari. The second Riyah of Zivot turns him into a Zav who needs 7 days of Tahira, the same as a female who would have had three Riyahs of Ziva, but is not Mechayev him in a Korban. Three Riyot are Mechayev him in a Korban. So that's the first difference.
I think it'll be
between. That's the first difference between himself and a female. The other difference is that when it comes to the female, it's the day that counts, not the re'iyah. It's a concept of a re'iyah. You have a day. This day was Tameh. 3 days of Tumah Shalavet Nidata. That's a Zavah Gedolah. But not three re'iyot. No matter how many separate re'iyot there would be on a particular day, really wouldn't make any difference. When it comes to a male, however, both are significant. The Re'iyah and the day. So that if, let's say, there are two separate Re'iyot in one day, so he already becomes a Zav in his tummy for 7 days. What's more, if there's a single Re'iyah that is spread over 2 days, and that's where we get into this problem, that is considered to be a Re'iyah of 2 days, even though it's one Re'iyah, it's the equivalent of a woman who would have had 2 days of Tumah. And therefore, it would also be considered to be a Zav who is Chomur. So here is where we get into our case of a Chumrah of 2 days, because what happens over here is, Kiditznan, as the Mishnah tells us, Ra'ah Shnei Yamim Bein HaShemashot. This person had a Riyah of 2 days, two consecutive days, that were Bein HaShemashot. So now, he is completely confused as to his status. Because assuming that the first Re'iyah, let's assume now that there was, the way Tosis explains it, which clearly is the Tosis really explains, and other Rishonim, that Rashi certainly doesn't mean anything differently, even though he sounds as if he does. Let's assume that what we're talking about is someone who had a re'iya sometime during Bein HaShemashot that extended for a few moments, and not at the same time, on two consecutive days. Now, we're not sure whether that re'iya, let's say the first day might have been a re'iya in the daytime, because it was Bein HaShemashot, perhaps it was during the period of Bein HaShemashot, which was day. So let's say his first re'iya, therefore, was on Shabbos, even though it was Mitzray Shabbos, but maybe it was on the daytime of Mitzray Shabbos. So it was still Shabbos. His second re'iya was Sunday night. Maybe it was on the latter part of Sunday, according to Rashi. Sunday. There is a sheet in the Tosfos that says Monday, but there's a lot of questions on it. Sunday night. Saturday night, Sunday night. He sees now Sunday night, perhaps in the
Monday.
Oh, you meant it was Monday. I'm sorry. I thought you meant Monday night. There's a sheet of Monday night. So he sees now on Sunday, perhaps it's already Monday. If it's already Monday, then he can't be a Zov because there was a day in between. It needs to be consecutive, the same way it needs to be by a Zava. So he may not be Tomei at all as a Zov. He may just be a Balkari. Now, on the other hand, this might have been two Re'iyos, in which case it does. The first one might have been indeed on Shabbat, the second one on Sunday, or the first one might have been late on Shabbat and Sunday, the second one later would have been Monday. Or, so that would make him a Zov now of Al-Shtei Re'iyot. He wouldn't be Chayav Korban, but he would be Tamei for 7 days. The worst possible scenario is that this Re'iyah extended over day and night, was thereby separated into two separate days, and that gives him the same din as two separate Re'iyahs. And then the next one was the same day as the second one on the day before, and therefore is a third Re'iyah. Or, of course, it could be the other way. It's the first one was one, the second one was two. But there's plenty of options over here to have him be a Zav Bal Shalosh Re'iyos, who now has to bring a carbon. So all three possibilities are created by the fact that it's Suffolk partially min hayom and partially min halayla. Therefore, we have to give it the Chomer of Shnei Yamim. And that's what the Gemara, well, that's what the Mishnah actually was referring to, says the Gemara. So therefore, you have both a suffix of Tuma of 7 days and a suffix of Korban. So then you have at least a suffix of Tuma, because it could have been two Re'iyos, and then he may be Tomei for 7 days. Fine. Now, getting back to the description of Bein HaShemashot, you just contradicted yourself. Aguf Akasha. You start off by saying, Ezel Bein HaShemashot. What defines Bein HaShemashot? From the time of Shkiat HaChama, as long as the Pnei Mizrach or Ma'adimim. So as long as it's red on the horizon, and only so long as it's red on the horizon, is what it sounds like, is it considered to be the Bein HaShemashot. Mashma, that if it had already reached a stage where the lower part of the atmosphere was darkened, even though it was still reddish on top, lo yitzif alyon, that would already be called Laila, because you said that that's no longer Bein HaShemashot. And then you turn right around and you say, V'odatana, hichzif ha-takton v'lo yitzif alyon Bein HaShemashot. You say it's considered to be Bein HaShemashot if only the bottom part of the atmosphere is now grayish. How do you explain that? Omar Rabba, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Krochutni. These two, you put the period in the wrong place. That's how you got mixed up. There's no period there. We're talking about the entire period. So you go from the time of it's bright and red, where the sun is setting, and it's already turned dark on the lower part, but it's still bright and red on top. All of that is Bein HaShemashot. That's how to read it.
So,
no, very much as opposed to the blink of an eye. So that's the Kroch Vetanei, Ezu Bein HaShemashot. Mi Shetishaka HaChama, Kol Zman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim, including even Echzif HaTachton, V'lo Echzif HaYom, that too, Nami Bein HaShemashot, that too is Bein HaShemashot. only when Yitzif Elyon V'Yishvah L'Tachton, when the upper part of the atmosphere has turned as gray as the bottom, then you're at night. That's one approach. Rav Yosef Amar Rav Yonah Amar Shmuel, whereas Rav Yosef quoted Rav Yonah Amar Shmuel differently than the way Rava quoted Rav Yonah Amar Shmuel, and he said, "Achi katani, misha tishaka chabal kol zman shepnei mizrach madimim yom." You have to insert a word over there. The time of the Ben Hashmashot Safek is from the time of Yichsif. Yichsif takton velo Yichsif Oyon begins Ben Hashmashot. Kol zman shepnei mizrach madimim, you're meant to understand that's your starting point. That's still daytime. We're talking about now after Shkia. It's bright and red out there on the horizon. That's day. When do you start worrying about Ben Hashmashot? Yichsif atachton velo yichsif alyon. That's the beginning of Ben Hashmashot. Now, when you come to the point, yichsif alyon v'yishvah atachton, that's considered to be Laila. Now, there's not a big difference of time in between here, because the truth is Azdol Tamayu. The two shitot over here are actually expressed in the time factor as opposed to the astronomical factor, and we measure time in a very modern way. We measure time by distance, except light years are a little hard to keep track of when you're dealing with Ben Hashmashot, especially if you don't have the right instruments. So we'll talk about walking time. So how many people years, amount that a person will walk in a year, right? Or people minutes. So we measure our time in people minutes. Okay, so how, therefore, what is the time? Says Rav Yonah Amar Shmuel, and this is Rabba's quote, Shlosha chalkei meal, three parts of a meal. Now, three parts of a meal is awfully vague. How big are the parts? So, when you say chalkei meal, what exactly are you referring to? My shlosha chalkei meal. I mean, do you mean three halves of a meal? You could have just said a meal and a half. I mean, why say it in this funny way? So, name a meal omechza. Do you mean three-thirds of a meal? Well, that's an easy way to say that. I mean, you could have just said a meal. Ela tlate rive'e mila. The only thing you could be referring to that makes sense is the next step up. In other words, three parts where you might have one part still to be mashlim. So, it would mean three-quarters of a meal. Whereas Rabbi Yosef, and again, this is the Shitatan, the two quotes. Rabbi Yosef quotes Rabbi Yonah Amar Shmuel as saying, it's shnei chalkei meal. It means two parts of a meal. Now, again, what are the parts in this case? My shnei chalkei meal. See what's interesting over here. The reason we're doing this is because they're not referring to a given chalek. Because we don't have given chalakim. Which means that the only way to compare these two shitot would be to find the common denominator of the two fractions. So we have to first establish what the fraction is. So the denominator of Rava's quote is 4. What's the denominator now of Rav Yosef's quote? Shnei chalkei meal. So do you mean shnei chalkei meal? What do you mean? Two parts. I mean, are the parts here half meal parts? So then saying two half meal parts, I mean, it'd be a lot easier just to say a meal. A meal? Ella, what you're referring to is what? Two of the same units, using the same denominator. 2/4 of a meal. So then say half of a meal. So lema chatzi meal. Clearly, therefore, you're referring to 2/3 of a meal. Which means that we have two separate denominators here. My benaya, the difference in the shear between Rabbi Yosef's quote and Rava's quote, is the common denominator, which is 12. So one is 8/12 and one is 9/12, right? Okay, so if that's the case, ikabinayo, palga bidanka, what we have left is a half of a sixth. The sixth was a common fraction. To say a 12th is a little bit complicated in Aramaic. So a half of a sixth, essentially, is what's left, which is 1/12, which is the difference between 8/12 and 9/12. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, let's just see how this reflects. So you're saying there's this slight difference. The slight difference.
Slight difference.
Between.
Because that difference of price. What you talking about?
That's what we were talking about.
Slight difference between waking and sleeping.
Slight difference. Right. For some people. I mean, some people makes really no difference at all. So we have a slight difference here between the two shitot, and it's reflected in the Braita in terms of the amount of time that we need to include that first period between the time that it's red and changing to gray on the bottom and red on top is the difference of 1/12 of a meal, which would be about 1.5 minutes. So the difference between the two shitot boils down to 1.5 minutes. So in terms of man minutes, that's what we're talking about over here.
From the reddening till the graying,
is the small difference. Is the danka, of a meal. Now, this leads to the question. First of all, the question just raised, which I actually was Marami's to earlier, what happened to the shear of the Shlosha Kof Havim? I mean, why don't we just look? And here, Tosfos' approach is that that is the question. Because if you say Shlosha Kof Havim Beinoniim, and the Lashon of the Gemara is, Lo Kof Havim Gedolim Anirim Bayom, Velo Kof Havim Aktarim Anirim Rak Balayla, so then basically it's a tautology. Because, I mean, you can't use Kof Havim that are seen in a day to define what the day is, because I don't know what kochavim that are seen in the day mean. So we need to define now what we're talking about by kochavim beinoniim. So we're giving these other measurements to define basically what those shlosha kochavim are. So there would be a slight difference over here in the various shitot about exactly what magnitude star you need to be able to see in a dark sky, besides which, of course, we don't have dark skies, so to us it's rather useless. We can't see stars. But assuming that you have a dark sky, we could give a particular magnitude for what star needs to be visible to the naked eye, in which point, obviously it's a spread, because it's Shlosha Kochavim. So it's gradually becoming visible. And that would be the shear. But what is that shear given in other measurements? So we give you, first of all, ways to check this astronomically. Now again, the astronomical needs to be reduced in our terms to a certain ideal, because clearly it makes a difference whether the atmosphere has a lot of particulate, has there been a volcano lately, is it cloudy today, and so on. We're talking about a type of ideal condition which now we translate, and here in the translation again we suffer, because that's where we get all these different shitot from. How many degrees beneath the horizon is the sun to cause this particular approach? And what do you mean by tachton and elyon? But as we've spoken many times before, the halakha is vague by definition. Since it's speaking in terms that are earth terms, the Torah is addressed to animals, not to instruments. So the instruments that are available to animals are eyes and simple brains. And that's what you use. So the terms are indeed vague. In the same way that we know we don't have to be medayek for geometry, let's say, Gemara has taught us, beferish, for all intents and purposes, we can round out pi to 3, you know, or we can round out the square root of 2 to 1.4, that we've already seen in the Gemara. So too, we round out, basically, ideas of time. And as the Rambam has said, the point over here is not to be medayik, not yes to be medayik. If somebody, when it came to the Zion of Kriyat Shema and so on, these are not meant to be times. We talked about don't try to daven with the nates according to your watch, because that's not called davening with the nates. Daven with your sense of when the nates is, right? So these times are a little bit spread out. When it comes to creating an actual calendar that is based on astronomical times for Shabbos, you have variations, you'll notice, between the various luchot, depending on how many minutes of a degree they're going to measure this particular point which the sun is under the beneath the horizon.
How do the hospitals deal with births on Friday night?
That indeed is a very serious problem, and part of this issue, again, my focus in between the post
It's basically agreed that at 27 minutes after what we call Shkiat HaChamah, what we call Shkiat HaChamah is the first moment that the rim of the sun has fallen completely behind the horizon. Now that, according to the Avinu Tam, is broad daylight. But to us, we refer to the Shkia. That's what's generally referred to by the Naval Observatory as Shkia. That is the time that the sun has set. There's no sun visible now from your point to the across the earth.
Is that Shkia
the
Bonnie?
Yeah, upper.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Shita
Tagoni?
Shita,
what do you call Shita
Tagoni? Shita Tagoni. That's the
last name. That's how we view it. And now the question is, okay, now how far beneath the horizon does the sun sink before we have the Hiksiv questions of here? The big serious problem is that the same Shitot over here, including Rabbi Yehuda, who talks about these very, very brief shiurim, Chatzi Mil, Kedei She'alek Chatzi Mil, is the author of the Shita in Arvei Pesachim that describes Dinim of, in the beginning of Pesachim, of the Shita that says 4 mil. How do we get from 4 mil to Chatzi Mil? So that is the source of the famous Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, that there it's referring to what we call sunset, where the sun is directly beneath the horizon, and therefore still giving out a tremendous amount of light that's bouncing off of the atmosphere. And for all intents and purposes, it's broad daylight. So that those 4 mil are really the time that it takes for the sun to be nichnas ba'ovi, mizman shemesh nichnas ba'ovi harakiyah, is the Rabbeinu Tam's approach. That's the beginning of Shkia, when the sun has now hidden itself in the depths of the Rakia, so to speak. That means it's fallen well below the horizon. And there we're talking about the last part of that process is what we're referring to over here. And that gives us, of course, the 72 minutes, which is 4 mil. There's a tremendous difference. So that's the famous 72 minutes, even though 72 minutes really doesn't make any sense, because it's giving a particular amount of time for an astronomical phenomena that changes every single day, obviously. Because we're talking about the amount of time that it takes for you on the surface of the earth to find the sun a certain number of degrees beneath the horizon. Obviously it depends on the angle at which the sun is approaching the earth from your point of view. So that if it's summertime and wintertime, you're going to get completely different times. And so the 72 minutes is a construct which doesn't really make sense. That's one of the main reasons for the rejection of the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. Because the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't work in many, many places on earth that had a significant Jewish population. There is no nighttime, according to Rabbeinu Tam. None whatsoever. So if you live in many cities in Russia, you don't have a Bein HaShemesh, you never have a Laila. What to us is a phenomenon only as you get very far north and the sun barely falls beneath the Rakia, is to the Rabbeinu Tam, most of the surface of the earth. And the place where you really have a Bein HaShemesh and a Laila and so on is really in a small area around Eretz Yisrael and a few degrees above and so on. Yeah, because what this does is it extends the penumbra's time in the morning and in the evening all the way till it takes away the night. Where's the actual night? And so it's difficult to believe that the places that are certainly considered to be Minayishu should have no halachic night. It's absolutely maddening. This of course, when they threw the Jews out of the Pale. The common response was among the Rabbanim that this was min hashamayim. We shouldn't get into a suffix of the Rabbeinu Tam and never have Shabbos, Mahalokha, and so on. So Baruch Hashem, they kept us out of the Pale. It's indeed too pale for us.
No,
okay, that's our interesting sugya for the day. Two beacons.
Get this out of there when they created the tail and kicked them out of Russia.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Joseph, instead of half, he's referring, since you're saying 3/4, I'm going to use the same.
Right.
You don't say that.
Right.
Because it wasn't said in conjunction. Okay, Lamadalit Mishnah. שלושה דברים צריך אדם לומר בתוך בית ערב שבת עם חשיכה ישראל דמרב תמדליק וסנר ספק חשיכה, ספק אינו חשיכה אין מעשרים זה ודאי ואין מדבילים את הכלים ואין מדבקים את הנירות אבל מעשרים את הדמי ומערבים ותומים את החמים מנוענים מליום רבי שבן לוי אומר קרובי ידעת כי שלום הוא עליך ופקד תנבך ולא תחתה אמר רבא ברבונה פגב יאמר רבא נשלוש דברים צריך אדם לומר בתוך ביתו צורך אם נמרינו בניחות תקחת הקפטינו מיני אמר רבא שזה ברויין ברענה לא שמיע ליד רבא ברבונה וקיימתי מספרה הגוף הקש אמר שלוש דברים צריך אדם לומר בתוך ביתו רב שבת עם חשיכה that clearly says עם חשיכה and only עם חשיכה but ספק חשיכה ספק אינו חשיכה לא לא ראה תורי ספק חשיכה ספק אינו חשיכה Kashikha, you could still be ma'arev. Om Rabab, Om Rabchia Barashah, Marav lo kasha. Kan de iruvei techumim, kan de iruvei chatzirot. V'yom ha'rova, Omru lo shnayim, sei va'arev aleinu, so le'echad irev alav mi ba'od yom, ule'echad irev alav bin ha'shmashot. Zeh shirev alav mi ba'od yom, ne'echal iruvo bin ha'shmashot. Vzeh shirev alav bin ha'shmashot, ne'echal iruvo mishakashikha. Shneihem kanu eru. What? Manavshat. Ibn Ashvashot yimamahu. Then only batra likne. Kama lo likne. Ibn Ashvashot laeliahu. Kama likne batra lo likne. Actually, Ibn Ashvashot sveikahu. Vesveikah the Rabbanan lakula. Omar Rabba. Mipnei ma amru. Ein tomnim bedavar she'eno mosif hevel. Mi shechashecha. Gizeh Hashem yartiyach. Omar Rabbai. Yachi. Ibn Ashvashot nami nigzah. אמר לי, סתם כתרות רותחות הן. ויאמר רבא, מפני מה אמרו אין תומנים בדבר המוסיף הבל, אפילו מבעוד יום, גזירה שמה יתמין ברמץ, יש בו גחלת סאו, אמר לי, הבא ויתמין, גזירה שמה יחת בגחלים. תן רבנו בן השבשות, ספק מן היום ומן הלילה, ספק כולו מן היום, ספק כולו מן הלילה. Therefore, מטילין אותו לחומש שני ימים, ואיזהו בין השמשות, מי שתשכח חמה כל זמן שפני מזרח מאדימים, הכסיף התחתון ולא הכסיף העליון, בין השמשות, either all of the above or, as we'll see, just what I just said. הכסיף העליון וישבה לתחתון, זהו לילה, דבר רבי יהודה. רבי נחמיה אומר, כדי שיעלך אדם, מי שתשכח חמה חצי מיל. רבי יוסי אומר, בין השמשות כהרף עין, זה נכנס וזה יוצא, ואי אפשר לעמוד עליו. אומר מר, מטילין אותו לחומש שני ימים. למה יוכת? אומר רבי נברי רבי ישוע, לעניין טומאה כדתנן. ראה שני ימים בין השמשות, ספק לטומאה ולקורבן. ראה יום אחד בין השמשות, ספק לטומאה. Now getting back to the description, I'll go for cash. Amateizu ben ha-shmashot, mi shetishakach ama, kol zman shepnei mizrag ma'adimi. Mashma, that ha-yichsif ha-tachton v'lo yichsif ha-yon, it would already be laylohu. Vohadatana, yichsif ha-tachton v'lo yichsif ha-yon, ben ha-shmashot. Make up your mind. Omer Rav, Omer Avir, Omer Shmuel, actually krov utni, eizel ben ha-shmashot, מי שתשכח כמה כוזן שפני מזרח מדהימים, including יחסיף התחתון איבן, ולא יחסיף העליון, נעמי בין השבשות. Only if יחסיף העליון וישפל התחתון is it לילה. Whereas רבי יוסף קורץ רבי רבי שבול הסיין, הוקי קטוני. מי שתשכח כמה כוזן שפני מזרח מדהימים, forget it, that's still the daytime. Now, let's begin בין השבשות. יחסיף התחתון ולא יחסיף העליון, there you got בין השבשות. יחסיף העליון וישבל התחתון עץ לילה ויוזדו לטעמיו דהיתמר שיעור בין השבשות בכמה אומר רב אומר רבי יונה משמור שלושה חלקי מיל meaning what? מהי שלושה חלקי מיל? אם אתה מתלה את הפלגי מיל נעים המיל and מיל אומר if you're referring to תלסה תלסי מיל נעים המיל alone must mean תלסה רבי מיל רבי יוסי קודס רבי יונה משמור saying שני חלקי מיל meaning מהי שני חלקי מיל? אם אתה מתלה פלגי מיל נעים המיל אלא תרי ריבי מיול, אין חצי מיול. אלא תרי תליסה מיולי. Anyway, common denominator is 12. סבי בינאיו, איג בינאיו, 1/12 פגדת אנטון.
Well, you said that we're talking about Pnei Mizrach is really a Western style.
Well, we're going to get to that.
No, we haven't
gotten to it.